This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
And off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. It's a four touchdown.
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Literally, you tell your friends, you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Fantasy Lowdown as we enter week number four in the NFL. My name is Brian Lowe. We're here to talk about fantasy football, give some advice, answer your questions, and just talk about some of the hot topics in fantasy football as the Patriots are on their bye week. So, you know, if you're listening to this show and you listen to Patriots.com radio because you're a Patriots fan and you've got that void to fill this weekend, maybe fantasy football will help fill that void. But just think, there will be 13 consecutive weeks of Patriots games. So this will be the last time that you have to worry about no game during this season. Webradio at Patriots.com is, of course, the email address. It's the email address for all the shows here on Patriots.com radio, and it's the way you can send me your questions, your fantasy thoughts, your fantasy rants, whatever it might be. I've got the inbox open. We've already got about five or six emails that we're going to get to over the course of the next hour, and we want to hear from you as well. Now, last week at this time on this show, I said, hey, if you've got a Patriots offensive player going up against the Miami Dolphins, you got to start him. That guy is going to have a big week. And, hey, I probably wasn't the only person who had those thoughts. And I'm probably not the only person who feels pretty disappointed. I have Wes Welker in one of my leagues, and I figured he'd be a guy for sure that would have a big day. I mentioned that on Patriots Today last week in a fantasy segment we do each week. I thought Randy Moss and Wes Welker would be the Randy Moss and Wes Welker of 2007. Maybe they wouldn't be all year, but in this game against a Dolphins defense that had been absolutely obliterated the previous week by the Arizona Cardinals, I thought this was going to be a breakout week. Maybe not so much for the running backs, but certainly for the wideouts and Matt Castle. And as we know, it was as disastrous as it could have been for the Patriots, whether you're talking about it from a fantasy perspective or not. So I was dead wrong there. But, hey, a lot of other people were as well. And, hey, what are you going to do? You know, you're not going to win them all. But I want to know how you did with some of those thoughts from last week. If you were victimized by the Patriots offense laying an egg, the Patriots laying an egg in general, we definitely want to talk about that this week. And meanwhile, while the Patriots offense was doing so poorly in that game, Ronnie Brown had what may be the best fantasy football game ever. I mean, how can you do much better? I guess maybe he could have had more yardage. He only had 120-something yards on the ground, if maybe a little less than that. But four rushing touchdowns. No one in Dolphins history had ever had four rushing touchdowns in one game. And if that wasn't enough, he tosses a 19-yard touchdown pass. Now, if touchdown passes, yardage on touchdown passes is important to you, you're probably saying, why couldn't you get that one extra yard, Ronnie? Well, we're nitpicking there a little bit. But that was one outstanding game. Unfortunately, if you're a Patriots fan, it was against the Patriots. But if you have Ronnie Brown in your fantasy team and you didn't win your contest last week, I don't know what you're doing wrong. Michael Turner is another guy I have on my team who had an outstanding game last week. Three touchdowns for the Atlanta Falcons. But I'm targeting him this week as a guy to sit. I don't think he's going to have a big week this week. So far for the Falcons, they've alternated weeks either hosting a fairly poor defense or going on the road to play a good defense. And this week, Atlanta goes to Carolina. Michael Turner has done really well in weeks 1 and 3, multiple touchdowns in each of those games as the Arizona team wins big at home. And then on the road, not so much. So, I'm sorry, not Arizona, Atlanta. As Atlanta goes to Carolina, I don't think Michael Turner is going to do too well, and same with Matt Ryan. A few other topics and storylines that we want to get to today is some of these football teams that have not just dual running back situations, but trifectas at running back. In some cases, there's injury issues that they're dealing with, and in some other cases, it's sharing carries. How about the Oakland Raiders? What's going on there? Darren McFadden, Justin Fargus, Michael Bush. Fargus and McFadden, injury problems. Michael Bush gets some carries. How about in Baltimore? Willis McGahee, LaRon McClain coming out of nowhere and being a virtual touchdown machine. And Ray Rice, the rookie who I've been high on, I was high on in the preseason, hasn't done much yet. But you never know. Maybe he gets some of his chances. I've got a few other topics that I definitely want to talk about and hear from you on and get some of your questions. So why don't we get right to some of the emails? And I first want to touch on an email we got last week. And certainly, if you have emails at any point during the week, we can take them and hang on to them and get to them on Thursdays at 4 o'clock. Webradio at patriots.com. If you're just tuning in and just listening and you're just realizing that we've got this fantasy show, a fantasy football outlet for you, send on a question. Send me your question. Tell me who you're thinking about benching or starting. And the new wrinkle, of course, that we have this week that we didn't have the previous 3 weeks is bye weeks, of course. And this week is unusual. There are actually six teams on their bye. The Patriots, of course, and the Miami Dolphins, who the Patriots lost to last week. The Lions, the Colts, the Giants, and the Seahawks also. Now, unless it was like the Kansas City Chiefs or the St. Louis Rams, teams that, you know, you really want to stay away from anyways in fantasy, these are obviously going to have impacts on pretty much any fantasy football team. Most likely, not so much when we get into the weeks where there's only four teams on bye, but this week when there are six teams on a bye, most likely you're affected in some way. Maybe you have one or two or more starters who you got to find a replacement for. Maybe it's just guys on your bench that you wouldn't necessarily plan on starting every week. But if you've got some questions on how to deal with the bye week, by all means, send them my way. We had a question last week from Brian in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, B-Lo, I'm nervous about LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, and I've been known to be the kiss of death in fantasy football. So I was wondering what you thought here. I already went through with it, but what do you think about LaDainian Tomlinson and LJ Smith for Marion Barber and Antonio Gates? Did I just make a huge mistake? Let's hear your thoughts. Thanks. Oh, and are we ever going to hear you on PFW in Progress? I hear those guys love fantasy football. Just kidding. Well, there's a reason why my show is at 4 o'clock. I think they would be so against having fantasy football as part of their show, they wouldn't be able to deal with my show being at 2. It would be way too close to theirs. They might have to have a crossover with me every now and then. So I'm at 4 o'clock. Stay the far, far, far away from those guys. And, you know, if they want to chime in, I'm certainly more than happy to hear from them, but I don't think they're too interested. You know, Paul does his, Paul's gotten involved here and there. I think Andy has too, but, you know, not so much. Well, let me get to this question, and I'm assuming that he traded Tomlinson and LJ Smith and received Barber and Antonio Gates. I think all four of those are guys with some question marks, whether it be injury or just decline in production, but overall, you can't, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson is, if you can't rely on LaDainian Tomlinson, who are you going to rely on? Injuries are going to be a factor and are going to be a threat to anybody. And Tomlinson, we know, is dealing with one a little bit right now, but he did play and play well the other night. I don't think you made a disastrous trade, but I would have kept held on to LaDainian Tomlinson on the whole. I think you got a pretty good tight end. I mean, Antonio Gates is a pretty good tight end, and you got a solid running back. I just think LaDainian Tomlinson is probably the most productive guy there. Now, Tomlinson, a question on Tomlinson certainly brings up some issues, and I made a fairly big mistake. Fortunately, it didn't cost me too much, but I have LaDainian Tomlinson on one of my teams, and I actually I did bench him. I actually felt like I'd be I'd be better off going with a replacement. Who was that replacement, you might ask? I'm embarrassed to say that it was Ernest Graham who gave me a complete goose egg. And then I cringed as LaDainian Tomlinson had two touchdowns and a decent amount of yardage on Monday Night Football. Now, hey, if that game was at 1 o'clock on a Sunday and at 11:30 we find out that Tomlinson's definitely playing, maybe I would have gone in a different direction. But unfortunately, I had LaDainian Tomlinson on my bench. So, Brian in Baltimore, Maryland, I don't think you made a disastrous trade. Overall, I do think, though, it's too early to say LaDainian Tomlinson's a guy that you might want to get rid of. Let's check out a few more emails. Paul from London, England. B-Lo, thanks for the advice this Sunday before the game. Big help, although I lost mainly due to Moss, but that's fantasy football, I guess. Well, like I said early on, if you had Moss and you took my advice and other people's advice probably too, that Moss would have finally a 2008 breakout game, you may have been disappointed. But not much help required on my first team. It pretty much picks itself. 8-team keeper league. Cutler, McFadden, Felix Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, DeSean Jackson, Rashard Mendenhall, we'll get to him in a bit, Tony Scheffler, and the Denver kicker Matt Prater, and the Eagles defense. On his bench, Tom Brady, Brandon Jacobs, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Marvin Harrison, Stephen Gostkowski. He's right. Paul is right. He doesn't have much wiggle room there. Every guy on his bench has a bye week. As you can tell, I like to have as many rookies as possible. Well, yeah, McFadden, Felix Jones, DeSean Jackson, and Rashard Mendenhall. But I have a waiver claim, which is Darren Sproles, who I dropped instead of benching for Steven Gostkowski. Is this a good plan of action? As I always have a bad waiver spot, as I like to make transactions all the time. Jonathan Stewart is also in the open market in this league. Well, a claim on Darren Sproles would not be bad. As I said about Tomlinson, if you have LaDainian Tomlinson, I wouldn't be too worried yet, but I'd be interested in Darren Sproles. For sure. So he dropped Sproles in exchange for Gostkowski. Well, you know, I think there's no need to have two kickers on your team. So I would go with Sproles. Jonathan Stewart is another guy that I like. But on the whole, if you have a chance to get a young running back like a Sproles or someone who might be able to help you, and you have two kickers on your roster, I would say get rid of one of the kickers, no doubt about it. In a second league now for Paul, a 12-team league for one season, I think, he says, so I guess he means he's not sure if it's a keeper league. Carson Palmer, Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, Lavernius Coles, Jonathan Stewart, Rashard Mendenhall, Tim Hightower, Owen Daniels of Houston, John Casey, and the Saints defense and special team on his bench. Again, a lot of guys who are on bye. However, Brett Favre is on his bench as well, and he's playing this week. Now, Carson Palmer and Ocho Cinco, the first two guys there that Paul mentions here in his league, I think finally we're going to have a full breakout game for Cincinnati offense, including Carson Palmer. I think Carson Palmer, he's shown a few signs last week. He finally threw a touchdown pass after not throwing a single touchdown pass in the Bengals' first two games. And I think Chad Johnson is too talented to continue the declined production he's had. Now, the only other options at wide receiver that Paul has here is Reggie Wayne, and Reggie Wayne is not playing. Paul, I appreciate the email, and I appreciate the questions you had there. It sounds like because of buys, you're really hit hard when your team is, or at least one of your, actually both of your teams are as heavy on Patriots as you are. You're definitely going to have some issues there on this week, but you should be good to go later on. We go to another email now. We have from Kevin. Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia. Brian, I have most of my roster figured out for this upcoming weekend with the exception of my defense and special teams. I can choose between San Diego, which is on the road at Oakland, or go with Tampa Bay hosting Green Bay. I feel it's a complete toss-up. I would say that, on the whole, that's a close one, and I don't know if you can necessarily go wrong with either one, but I'll tell you what. I like that San Diego defense. They're going to give up some points, but they are always going to be big on takeaways. And they're going on the road at Oakland, and that's a team, that's an offense that I certainly don't feel comfortable with. Jamarcus Russell, included there. As far as Tampa Bay going to host Green Bay, Green Bay has some more offensive weapons than Oakland. Now, a gentleman who we had on the show a couple weeks ago, Greg Rosenthal, and his weekly rankings, which have already come out, and he does a great job with these, for defense and special teams, he has the Chargers as the fifth-ranked defense and special teams this week. Meanwhile, he has the Buccaneers at number nine, not too far back. So if you have two of the top nine defenses, that's a great luxury to have, but it also puts you in a bind as far as which one to use. I would definitely go with San Diego, though, in this case. I think they're the better defense in general. I think they're big on takeaways, and if that's important in your league, then you'll do well. And the Oakland offense, I think, is nothing special at this point. Jamarcus Russell and the running back situation, which we were talking about earlier. So, Kevin, I'd be more than happy to go with the San Diego Chargers. But on the whole, to have San Diego and Tampa Bay as your two defenses as the season goes on, I'm sure you'll use both of them at certain points. All right, well, I mentioned earlier that I like the Cincinnati Bengals this week and the Bengals offense, and I think there's going to be a bit of a breakthrough for them. They are hosting Cleveland in the All-Ohio Bowl, and the two Ohio teams, much like the two teams in Missouri, have combined for a big fat zero in the win column this year. That for the Bengals is in part due to the lack of productivity in their offense, and they've had some changes. Of course, Rudy Johnson's not there anymore, and he sort of had a bit of a breakout game for the Lions this past week. But I feel like while the Cincinnati Bengals organization is a disaster, I think that there's a better chance that the Bengals have a chance to get on a bit of a roll this week than the Cleveland Browns. When the Browns, you know, when a team starts to have some quarterback controversies that the Browns are having right now, until they actually pull the trigger, I think you're just asking for trouble. You know, they've said that Derek Anderson will be their starting quarterback this week, and that's all well and good. But anytime you have to make that announcement, it means that there have been questions at quarterback. It means that people are calling for Brady Quinn. And they obviously don't have a ton of confidence in Derek Anderson. Otherwise, it never would have been an issue, and they wouldn't have had been in position to have to announce that Derek Anderson is the quarterback. I don't like the Cleveland offense this week. I do like Cincinnati. I think if you have Carson Palmer, you're going to be looking at two or maybe even three touchdowns this week and maybe a 250-300-yard game. So if you're someone who maybe drafted Carson Palmer high and over the last couple of weeks you're regretting that decision, I feel like if you hung on to Carson Palmer, as I actually did in one of my leagues, I think you'll be in good shape. I actually had Carson Palmer and David Garrard in one league, and I felt okay about myself going into the season. Not huge, not real high in Garrard, but I figured I was in decent shape with Palmer. I ended up cutting Garrard, picking up Trent Edwards. So I right now have Trent Edwards and Carson Palmer. Feeling pretty good about Trent Edwards, although he's still got a lot to prove. You know, done well so far, and I think he's got a bright future, and I was comfortable starting him last week. With Buffalo is playing this week? They're at St. Louis, and Carson Palmer hosting Cleveland. I feel pretty good about either guy there, and might be able to make that decision and be well either way. Speaking of Trent Edwards, I think the Buffalo offense going against St. Louis this week, I don't think you're going to be able to go wrong either way. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We've heard from a few people, and we still have a few more emails to get to, but we still want to hear from you. What are the bye week issues that you're dealing with on your team? Who do you, if you even have some flexibility, who are you looking to start? Throw out some questions to me. We'll discuss them. Throw out some rants, and if you're upset at some advice I gave you last week, and hey, you wouldn't be the first one, you probably won't be the last one either, you can rant on that. Send it my way as well. We've got a lot more to come here on the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio, webradio@patriots.com. We'll get more of your emails and talk about a few more subjects when we come back right after this.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar,
the hot nacho bar,
the hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna here. Let me tell you about the game with the greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching a game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the Game with the Greats on October 5th at Gillette Stadium. Watch the Patriots take on the 49ers in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me and a bunch of other Patriot alumni. Guys like newly inducted Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and Patriots Hall of Famers Ben Coates, Stanley Morgan, Steve Nelson, and Steve Grogan will be there. Tickets are limited because they're only $40. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Patriots. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown in honor of Qdoba today, Big Qdoba Day. We've got some Mexican radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address here. That Qdoba was pretty good today, and I know that the PFW in Progress guys, although I haven't really had a full discussion with them about it, I've got to imagine that that was not the only belch that came out of someone like Andy Hart today. But boy, oh boy. Good to have Qdoba on board. I took part. A lot of others did as well. That was a big move. That really, that's getting me through the day. That got me through the day. When I had that at about 12:15, knowing I had a 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock fantasy lowdown to do, that helped get me through the day. So we want to hear from you. We've heard from a few already with some questions, talking about the bye weeks and their effect on fantasy football, talking about the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, two offenses that I think are going to break out. Did you think that Ronnie Brown had the best fantasy football game ever? It's got to be up there. Being involved in five touchdowns. It's rare for a quarterback to throw five touchdowns in a game. A running back to run for four and throw for another one and pile up the yardage that Ronnie Brown did. Just sensational. And, of course, the Patriots were victimized. So I mentioned, was Ronnie Brown one of the best fantasy football games ever? Well, I want to talk about a column that Bill Simmons, the Boston sports guy on ESPN.com, had last week. It actually came out the day after we did our the most recent fantasy lowdown last Thursday. And, you know, he's a guy who I've been reading for a long time, always involved in fantasy football. He writes columns about it and writes draft diaries and things like that, and maybe at some point down the line we'll get him on the show here. But I was really intrigued by what he wrote about last week, a column that was entitled, "Here's a Fact, the NFL is All About Fantasy Now." And he was talking about the Monday night football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys 10 days ago, week two, and it was a sensational game. If you're a football fan, no question about it. It was a great game on Monday Night Football, and it seems like strange things always happen in Monday Night Football, and in this case, the DeSean Jackson would-be touchdown would certainly qualify in that category. But Bill Simmons poses the question, was that the greatest fantasy football game ever? And here's what he says in the column. "I went to sleep that night believing Dallas 41, Philly 37 was the most influential fantasy game ever played. 2 days later, I confirmed those thoughts with ESPN's Matt Berry, who thought about it for exactly 0.014 seconds before agreeing, yep, greatest fantasy game ever. With that settled, I spent the next 30 minutes on the phone trying to convince him to grow a Fu Manchu. It worked for Jim Rome. It can work for Matthew Berry. That's a little Bill Simmons aside, not involving fantasy football. But here's what he says. Back to my point. The Philly-Dallas game featured 8 offensive touchdowns, a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, and 5 field goals. It happened on the make-or-break night for every close fantasy matchup, and he's right about that. If you're of a tight game and you're looking at Monday Night Football, you're watching on the edge of your seat whether you care about the teams or not. You might have some fantasy implications. An inordinate number of fantasy starters were involved, he goes on to say, including 4 of the top 12 picks in any 2008 draft. Tony Romo, Brian Westbrook, Marion Barber, and Terrell Owens. And he's probably right. If they weren't the top 4 of the top 12, probably 4 of the top 15 or 16. The number one tight end, Jason Witten, a rejuvenated QB, McNabb, a breakout sleeper, DeSean Jackson, 2 guaranteed starters in any league, Patrick Creighton and Dallas's defense, 2 kickers on everyone's rosters, David Akers and Nick Folk, and 3 borderline starters in deep leagues, Felix Jones, Hank Baskett, and Philly's defense. And then he goes on to talk about the DeSean Jackson play and how much, what kind of fantasy implications that had. And we know what it had in terms of if you're a DeSean Jackson owner and or a Donovan McNabb owner, and then if you're a Brian Westbrook owner. Again, it was an extraordinary game, but it wasn't more dramatic or memorable than Baltimore blowing its chance to end New England's undefeated season on a Monday night game last December, right? The more I thought about it, I decided the fantasy subplots propelled the Philly-Dallas game to its record numbers. That had to be it. And actually, the premise of his column here is that the Dallas-Philadelphia game was the most watched telecast in cable history. But his argument is that it was the most influential fantasy game as well. And, you know, he closes by saying, anyway, that's why I think Cowboys 41, Eagles 37 was the greatest fantasy game of all time. I also think we'll see another Monday Nighter topping it sooner than later. And so a few things to talk about there. Do you agree with Bill Simmons that that was the most influential fantasy game ever? Hard to argue that. You'd have to go through really every game to come up with something close. But when you do have so many fantasy players involved, fantasy starters, really, on those two offenses, there are very few guys on those offenses who are not regular starters in the fantasy world. And he makes a great point there, and it's interesting to think about it in that way. And then the other point he makes is just in general, Monday night is sort of the make or break night. Baltimore at Pittsburgh this week might not have the same impact as Dallas Philadelphia, just because Baltimore and Pittsburgh, there aren't as many fantasy starters on those teams and a few other injury concerns, but it's an interesting point nonetheless. Let's talk about that Baltimore at Pittsburgh game. I'm certainly willing to take the blame and take the hit every time I'm wrong about something on in terms of fantasy, but I'm going to give myself a premature pat on the back for sticking with Rashard Mendenhall on both of my teams through the first 3 weeks of the season. I was very high in Rashard Mendenhall for fantasy football this year. I just didn't think that Willie Parker is a guy who would hold up for 16 weeks. And I thought that's a team, Pittsburgh, that even if Willie Parker was productive and was healthy, that they'd try to keep him fresh down the stretch and keep Rashard Mendenhall involved as well. Well, I've resisted the urge through the first couple weeks to cut Rashard Mendenhall and sign a more productive player, someone I could count on down the stretch. And I really, really, really think I will be happy with that decision now that Rashard Mendenhall has been announced as the Pittsburgh starting running back for this week and, it seems, next week as well, with Willie Parker out with an injury. We shall see. Tough first game for Mendenhall on Monday Night Football, the big stage, against a Baltimore defense that, when Ray Lewis is involved and the bright lights are on in prime time, you know he's going to come out and at least have a lot of emotion and a lot of energy. Whether that translates to victory or a good game or not, we don't know. However, I really feel strongly that Rashard Mendenhall is going to be the kind of breakout performer that, say, Matt Forte, Jonathan Stewart, that those guys have been so far. We've talked at length in the last couple of weeks about rookie running backs and how intriguing they are. This year, maybe more so than many other years, you've got Darren McFadden, you've got Felix Jones and Forte and Jonathan Stewart, as I mentioned earlier. But I think Mendenhall, who has had, minimal carries, minimal touches through the first few weeks, is going to really be a catalyst for that team. And again, I'm not going to be too worried if he doesn't get the job done fully this week. But I just think that going forward, Mendenhall is going to be a guy that you're going to want to have on your team. All right, we've got an email here from Todd, and Todd says, good afternoon, Brian, Mini Gary, and whoever else is there. Well, Mini Gary will be joining us soon, Dan Tugender. Gary, however, is in the studio right next to me. Maybe he'll chime in at some point if he so desires. Probably not. Maybe he will. Nope. Okay, that's his contribution. However, he did. He was a big supplier of the, or at least an organizer of Qdoba. So I'm not going to get on his case too much. Yeah, you know, lunch every now and then. In your opinion,
I've never done fantasy football, so you don't want my input.
Is that true? Is that true? Would you think you ever will? No, that's fine. You're one of the few. I bet someday you do. I'm going to say you do.
I think I've passed it. I think I'm too old.
You see, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think, what are you, 28, 29? I think you're going to have...
God bless you, add 10 to that.
Well, if you know, this will be, actually, next week's show will be the last time that I will be on this air as a 20-something. So, you know, getting close. Anyways, this is what Todd says. In your opinion, which two running backs should I start? Chris Johnson, the Tennessee rookie, another rookie back, versus Minnesota. Chris Perry versus Cleveland. Darren McFadden versus San Diego. And in parentheses, Todd says he's expected to start this week. Or Tim Hightower against the Jets, 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 Jets. So he can start two of those four. Johnson, Chris Perry. Chris Johnson, Chris Perry, Darren McFadden, Tim Hightower. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't know if any of them overwhelm me as fantasy starters. I'm going to continue with my thought that the Cincinnati offense is going to have a breakout week, and I was specifically focused on the passing game. But in my opinion, if the passing game is doing well, that often opens things up for the running game, and maybe if Cincinnati has a big lead late, that'll help Chris Perry. So I'm going to say Chris Perry for sure I would start. I'd really hesitate with Darren McFadden going to get up against San Diego, and even if he is expected to play, dealing with a little bit of an injury. Tim Hightower seems to be able to get some touchdowns. He's an intriguing guy against the Jets, and I'd say Chris Johnson, who I'm overall very high on. I don't think that's a great matchup against Minnesota. If you're really pressing me, I'd say Perry. I'd say Hightower. Perry and Hightower would be my one and two, and McFadden and Johnson not too far behind. Monitor that McFadden situation, though, because if he does play and, say, Justin Fargus doesn't, maybe I'd slide McFadden up against over Hightower. Another question, which third wide receiver should I start? Lavernius Coles of the Jets against Arizona or Eddie Royal at KC? My other two starting wideouts are T.O. and Bolden. Obviously, T.O. and Bolden are the guys you're going to want to start. Which third receiver should he start, Coles or Eddie Royal? That's an interesting one. Coles overall, I do like better. Eddie Royal, I mean, he's got a bright future and a bright fantasy future and certainly opened eyes early on. And he's going against KC. That's where, you know, you might not really be thinking about starting Eddie Royal this week, except for the fact that he's going against KC and he's got a great quarterback in Jay Cutler, a guy who's really doing well. An interesting question. And, you know, I guess if I'm pressed on that one, I think Eddie Royal might actually be the safer guy. Chancey Stuckey seems to be the guy who Brett Favre finds in the end zone, although Coles did have a touchdown last week. Eddie Royal, though, against Kansas City, I think I might lean in that direction. And finally, which QB should I start, Rodgers at Tampa Bay or Edwards at St. Louis? I'm all about Trent Edwards. I'm all about Trent Edwards this week, maybe not every week, but this week for sure, at St. Louis. Go Trent Edwards. Aaron Rodgers, that would be a tough sit. If you have Aaron Rodgers on your team and you don't have a great backup quarterback, I'd feel comfortable with Aaron Rodgers. I really do like Trent Edwards, and I really do like the Buffalo Bills offense for this week. And what a seamless transition we have here. We have another email from Matt who says, at quarterback, I can start either Aaron Rodgers or Trent Edwards. Where did I hear that before? I'm leaning towards Edwards this week because he's playing a woeful St. Louis team that's given up 38, 41, and 37 points so far this year. What are your thoughts? Well, Matt, I appreciate the email. You know I do, and I'm going to stick with that and go with Trent Edwards. Again, Aaron Rodgers, he's startable this week. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but I really think Trent Edwards is the guy right now. I'm stumped again when it comes to my running backs. I've got Marion Barber, who's been on fire, but my second running back is another story. Maurice Jones-Drew and Jonathan Stewart the last 2 weeks, I sat the guy who put up 20 points. Very tough, and as much as high as I am on some of these rookie running backs, I also hesitate when it comes to expectations week in and week out. Some of these guys have a huge week 1 week and not so much the second week. And that's tough if you've got guys like Jonathan Stewart and Maurice Jones-Drew. Jones-Drew, not a rookie, but involved in tandem running back situations and coming up with the right guy each week is a tough one. And this week with Maurice Jones-Drew and Jacksonville, they host Houston. Carolina with Jonathan Stewart hosts Atlanta. Matt, I know I maybe gave you some bad advice last week, so take this for what it's worth. I'm going to say go with Jonathan Stewart this week. I think Carolina hosting Atlanta is the better matchup. You're certainly looking at matchups in this situation. Jones-Drew against Houston, not a bad matchup, but I'm looking at Jonathan Stewart as maybe scoring this week, having a better chance to score. Final question from Matt. In this league, we play three defensive players rather than a team defense and special teams. Right now, I have 5 roster spots out of 20 taken up by defenders. I don't know, really. I haven't really dealt with too many fantasy leagues where you have individual players, IDP. So I'm not sure if 5 out of 20 is reasonable. It sounds like that's about right if you start 3 each week. My 3 starters, Marcus Stroud, waiver wire pickup because he's playing the Rams, and Trent Green is going to be the quarterback. Not a bad thought there. Mario Williams, who I would imagine is startable every week, and Jabril Wilson. The other 2 spots are Dallas Thomas, who's on a bye, and Marcus Trufant. My question is this: do you think it's worth it to have extra defenders taking up a roster spot, or would I be better off using those spots for emergency running backs and trade bait like Darren Sproles, who I grabbed when I saw LT was hurting? Very interesting question. And like I said, I'm no expert on individual defensive players, but I do feel like that my rule of thumb is always, always, always have that extra running back on your roster. It helped me out 4 years ago with Larry Johnson. I had Larry Johnson on my bench. I used that as my example. Priest Holmes was, in his prime or maybe nearing the end of his prime. I think it was 2004. And I picked up Larry Johnson late in a draft, and that helped me out in a keeper league for 3 or 4 years beyond that, through 2006. And I would feel like defensive players, as much as, wide receivers and tight ends can be sort of a crapshoot each week, I've got to think that, especially, cornerbacks, where you're probably dealing with interceptions and it's so hard to predict. I mean, Antonio Cromartie might be a different story, but if I had to make a decision there, I would probably say if you start 3 defensive players, keep 4 on your roster, not 5, and go with an extra running back, maybe a guy who's a backup to an injury-prone guy, or even a third string to an injury-prone guy. In your case, Matt, I'd maybe have my 3, 2 or 3 guys that you consistently, you don't want to cut, and then with that other 1 or 2 spots, maybe go with matchups like you say you are with Marcus Stroud. Matt says, I'm sure I could afford to lose one of my DBs, Wilson or Trufant, and or one of the other defenders like Thomas or Stroud, and just make waiver moves for weekly defenders. But at the same time, if a week like this one comes up where Stroud could have a big game, look what Justin Tuck did to the Rams, am I better off holding on to an extra defender or two? I do think that 4 of them, you should be able to get by with 4, and that fourth guy could be your guy that, hey, you deal with the matchup and you take a Marcus Stroud if he's available. Matt, I hope I'm helping you out here. You never know. Maybe I'll be 50-50 with your questions this week. Maybe better, but I feel confident with Trent Edwards. We got another email from Todd. His last starter sit question from him this week. He says, but Todd, by all means, send more my way if you'd like to. Which defense should I start? Tennessee Titans versus the Peterson Vikings. I guess Todd feels the Minnesota Vikings, the Gus Frerotte-led Minnesota Vikings, are really just a one-man crew. Or the Baltimore Ravens versus, quote, Mendenhall is ridiculous, Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, I said what I thought about Mendenhall a little while ago, and I'm very high on him, although I
do... Mendenhall is ridiculous.
It's an Andy Hart reference. I had a feeling, knowing how high Andy Hart is on Rashard Mendenhall. Does he typically wear the Mendenhall jersey when he's doing the show? I don't think so.
I believe he's wearing it this weekend.
Is he wearing it this weekend? There you go. He might as well. No Patriots game. He doesn't have to worry about wearing it, at the office. And it could be the breakout week for Mendenhall. So back to the question, Tennessee versus the Peterson Vikings or the Ravens versus Mendenhall's ridiculous Steelers? I'll tell you what. If you own the Titans and the Ravens, that's not bad. That's kind of like, when I was saying with, was it Tampa Bay and San Diego, similar to that if you own those two defenses. And let's go back to Greg Rosenthal. I like Greg Rosenthal. I like his rankings. And he has the Titans number one, which is, I think, where they belong until proven otherwise. And he's got the Ravens defense down at number seven. So, again, if you have two of the top seven defenses week in, week out, that's not bad. I'd probably still go with the Titans. I think the Ravens this week against the Steelers, because Ben Roethlisberger is sort of banged up and Baltimore's defense has done better than expected, I think you can go do no wrong there. But I do think the Titans is the way to go. Adrian Peterson, you know, notwithstanding, he could still have a decent game. And your Titans defense would still look pretty good against the passing offense that they have. Hey, you know, if you get through the bye weeks, and I assume those two teams don't have the same bye week, I hope for your sake, Todd, you know, you might want to think about dealing one of those, because I think those two defenses are going to be good all the way through. You'll have some interesting and difficult decisions to make, no question about it, but in this case, against the Vikings, I'd go with the Titans. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address here on the Fantasy Lowdown. This show is really for you. We want to hear from you. We want to know what your thoughts are on who to start, who to sit, and who your sleepers are. If you watch Patriots Today on Patriots.com, which is a TV show I do with Christina Acra, every Thursday, and the show that will be posted pretty soon, I do a Fantasy Lowdown segment where I give a player to start. Like that laugh, huh? A player to start, a player to sit, and a sleeper for this week. And in this case, this week, I say start Carson Palmer. He's the guy, as I mentioned earlier. I think the Bengals offense is going to break out. Who to sit? I went with Michael Turner. I have Michael Turner on one of my teams. I was thrilled with what he did last week. I'm in a little bit of a bind on this one team because Joseph Addai and Michael Turner are my two top running backs, and Addai has the bye. And then beyond that, I have Selvin Young, and like I said earlier, I have Rashard Mendenhall. So I'm sort of debating who to start and who to sit, basically two of the three: Michael Turner, Rashard Mendenhall, and Selvin Young. And oddly enough, I think Selvin Young is the only guy right now that's a lock of those three, Denver at Kansas City. I think Selvin Young can have a decent game and maybe score a touchdown or two, even though they've got all sorts of running backs getting a chance. But Michael Turner is a guy I'm very worried about this week. And Rashard Mendenhall I'm high on overall, but not so much this week. And then my sleeper for this week, Chancey Stuckey. And here's why. You know, he's got touchdowns in all three games. You score a touchdown in one game, that could be a fluke. Two games, you start to pay attention a little bit. Three games is when you got to say, okay, this guy might be a Brett Favre weapon in the end zone, in the red zone. So I have Chancey Stuckey as a guy that I'd like to that I think is going to be a sleeper. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. And, you know, we still want to hear from you and get some of your thoughts, get some of your rants. A few other things that I wanted to mention, and we're going to bring Dan Tugender on in just a bit, another guy who enjoyed some Qdoba today, I believe. We mentioned Matt Berry earlier because we referenced him from the Bill Simmons column and the talented Mr. Roto, and he had a couple of thoughts this week. Guys I love for week four, Braylon Edwards of the Browns. We've talked at length about the Cincinnati-Cleveland game for this week, and while I'm very high on the Cincinnati offense, I'm not necessarily down on the Cleveland offense for this week. I think they could score a few points against Cincinnati. Braylon Edwards is one guy he loves for week four, in addition to Jamal Lewis of the Browns. So he thinks that the Browns offense is going to break out, and he agrees with me, or I guess I should say I agree with him. I'm not going to say that, I'll go with the talented Mr. Roto ahead of me on fantasy expertise. All your Bengals, he says. Carson Palmer, T.J. Houshmandzadeh, Chris Perry, and even Chad Johnson, in that order, should all have big days against the Browns. Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much, Bill.
How'd your fantasy team do last week?
You know what? I had a pretty decent fantasy week, but to be honest, it could have been a great one.
It could have been. Did you win?
You know what? The league I'm in, we have cumulative points.
You know what? That's fine. I'm getting used to it. I love the excitement of a week-to-week matchup. I mean, that's ideal. But, you know, there's merits to that as well.
Yeah, no, it's been fun so far. It's kind of grown on me a little bit.
Yeah. So you think you did okay, but you could have done better. How so?
I did okay. Unfortunately, I was one that had big Ronnie Brown on my bench.
Ooh.
Last week, so.
Ooh. But you know what? I mean, listen, in hindsight, yeah, How could you have him on your bench? But a week ago, if you said to me, and I think we talked about this,
absolutely,
do you want to start a Miami Dolphins offensive player with, you know, an offense that had not clicked yet, coming to New England, the Patriots with some momentum on the road? I mean, you know, who'd you start ahead of Ronnie Brown? I mean, who else do you have?
Right, I have Marion Barber and Reggie Bush as my other.
Yeah,
so it's not like I was starting some guy that's a second stringer or third stringer there, but hindsight,
you know, in hindsight, but. What are you going to do? I mean,
the way the Barber... front seven's been playing on the Patriots, there was no way that anybody could have figured that Ronnie Brown would go for seven.
No, four touchdowns. And I'll tell you what, Marion Barber, you start every week. Reggie Bush could be a matchup guy, but last week going up against Denver, that game panned out the way I think a lot of people figured it would. A shootout, both teams scoring a lot, and Reggie Bush had a good game. I mean, he had, you know, what do you have, 11 catches? I mean, it was one of these games where he had, I'm not sure how many times he reached the end zone. I think he scored once. He scored at least once, but he had about 170 yards of total offense. So, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to make that decision, I think, most weeks, thinking objectively, but it had to be frustrating as you're here.
It was a little frustrating, I believe.
Are you on the field, Dan, during the games?
I am. Yes.
You are on the field during the games. Did you think about, you know, heading over to their bench and maybe just kind of, you know, a little accidental, you know, trip or anything like that?
Well,
I'm not advocating that by any means. But did you think about that?
Bilo, I don't know if you remember, we were standing in the field tunnel after the game, and Ronnie Brown walked right
yes,
by us. And,
that's right.
He wanted me to walk up to him and say, thanks for the show on tonight, made me look bad.
That's right. Well, now here's the question I have for you. Now, Miami's on a bye this week, and then next week they host the San Diego Superchargers. And that week, you say you have Bush and Barber. They're not on a bye. So you're going to have that dilemma again.
It's going to be a tough dilemma.
You're going to have that dilemma again.
You know what? It's probably a good problem to have, though. So,
hey, absolutely.
Three strong running backs.
And we're looking ahead to week five. Dallas hosts Cincinnati. So certainly Marion Barber, you're definitely going to want to start. Here's where it gets interesting. New Orleans, on Monday Night Football that week, not talking about this coming week, next week, they host Minnesota. Tough defense. So Miami hosting San Diego. San Diego's defense, while good and turnover, they cause a lot of turnovers, they can be scored upon. Mm. You're going to have an interesting decision there.
Yeah, usually throughout the week I'll flip-flop a couple times back and forth to choose a guy, but it'll probably be a game-time decision.
Yeah.
Sunday morning,
you know, you wait till the last minute. I was talking earlier on the show about LaDainian Tomlinson, who was, you know, a big question mark going into this week. And I think the consensus was, well, he'll probably play, might not get a lot of touches as usual. And then with the Chargers being on Monday night this past weekend, it caused a lot of headaches and heartache for people not knowing who to start. I mean, you couldn't look at the 11:30 a.m. Sunday inactive list and say, oh, he's definitely playing. I'm definitely going to start him. You had to wait. You had to make a decision on Sunday and wait it out. Just looking at a few of the rankings from Greg Rosenthal this week on RotoWorld.com, who we had on a couple weeks ago. You know, at running back, which we're talking about a little bit, Frank Gore, the number one running back right now for him for this week at New Orleans. And we were talking about, you know, New Orleans, you know, that's a defense that we saw from the Denver Broncos the other day that can be scored upon. Frank Gore has been, you know, he's backing up what he did last year and getting it done again. Marion Barber, number two. Marshawn Lynch of Buffalo at St. Louis, number three. You know, Marshawn Lynch might not be, you know, your third best running back, third highest ranked running back every week, but against St. Louis,
big week. Yeah.
Big week. I think Buffalo. I don't know if you have anyone from Buffalo on your team. I just picked up Trent.
Josh Reed.
Josh Reed.
Yeah,
I like Josh Reed. I like Josh Reed a lot, especially since Roscoe Parrish is now out. You know, you elevate. You know, a guy. You always have to look at it in that way. Not like Roscoe Parrish is a dominant fantasy player, but if you take an offense that's doing well, and a guy like Roscoe Parrish gets hurt, you've got to look at who's going to be taking up some of the slack. They've got a good tight end who's doing well, Robert Royal, Marshawn Lynch doing well. But I think Josh Reed is a guy who, you know, overall through the course of the season, is he going to dominate fantasy-wise? No. But this week, I think that's a good move.
Yeah, he didn't get off to a great start this year, too. I was looking at his numbers. But each week, he's just been stepping up a little bit more. And, you know, I respect this week, especially against St. Louis, that they'll have a big week.
Yeah, and in the wide receiver rankings, Lee Evans is 10th. And just looking down here a little bit where Josh Reed is, he's at 41. But, you know, when you think about it, 41.
Not terrible for my third wide receiver.
Not terrible. Who else did you have there?
Braylon Edwards, who I heard you say should have a big week this week. and Chris Chambers.
Well, here's what you know. Here's
against
what,
Oakland this week, Chris Chambers.
Yeah, that's not bad. With Philip Rivers throwing the ball. Here's what Matt Berry says about Braylon Edwards. And this is Matt Berry talking. This is me pushing all my chips in the middle on Braylon. He busts out for a big game this week. And then sell. Look at the Browns' schedule coming up. A bye, then the Giants, at Washington, at Jacksonville, Baltimore, Denver, at Buffalo, Houston, Indianapolis, and then in Week 14 for the playoffs, fantasy playoffs, at Tennessee, at Philadelphia, Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh. The jury is still out on the Redskins' defense a bit. Houston is easy, and the second Cincy matchup should be as well. That's it. Colts should be in good shape by Week 13, and the Bengals game in Week 16 will be at the mercy of the weather. So, what Matthew Berry says, and it's hard to argue that, if Braylon Edwards has a big game this week, and which you know a lot of people think he will, that might be the last big game.
There, yeah.
Exactly, and if they have a quarterback change and there's an adjustment period there, and they're going up against some good defenses, Pittsburgh a couple times, Baltimore might not be
not
a bad idea.
Advice.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. And you know, I was talking earlier about Rashard Mendenhall. I'm not going to trade Rashard Mendenhall if he does well this week. But I think if you're deep at running back and you have Rashard Mendenhall, or you either hung on to him because you took him as a late round flyer, or if you you picked him up off waivers this week, if he has a big week, you might want to consider trading a guy like that. You know, I think he's going to do well this year. But if you're deep at running back and you've got a couple of other good guys and you can upgrade somewhere else, deal away Rashard Mendenhall. You know, because if Willie Parker does come back, they could be back to splitting carries.
Why not? What do you have to lose?
Yeah, what do you have to lose? If you'd be lucking out if you have him on your team and he does well. But you know, then you could certainly go ahead and trade him. You know, a few other rankings here. At wide receiver, Brandon Marshall, number one guy, and you know, Brandon Marshall is probably a top five guy every week this year, but they're going up against Kansas City. I'm telling you, if you have an offensive player and they're going up against a team from Missouri or a team from Ohio, you're probably going to want to start him, Dan.
Especially when Jay Cutler's throwing the ball
to
him. I mean, he's looking at him a million times each game. So
find the fifth string wideout on Denver, and you might want to start him this week.
Yeah.
Brandon Marshall going to have a big game. Terrell Owens, you know, ranked number two against Washington. He's a guy who's always going to be up there. Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, and Steve Smith of the Panthers, number five, going up against Atlanta. Another suspect defense. Rounding out the top ten wide receivers, Anquan Boldin, Greg Jennings, Jericho Cautry, T.J. Houshmandzadeh, and the aforementioned Lee Evans. Looking at tight ends, Jason Witten, number one, Kellen Winslow, number two, Antonio Gates, number three, Tony Gonzalez, number four, and Chris Cooley, number five. Chris Cooley, an interesting guy. You kind of never know what you're going to get out of him, but he's pretty productive, and he's a top five guy now.
I'm surprised by that, though, because I have him on my fantasy team, and they're going up against Dallas this week.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he's ranked that high.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Dallas's defense can be scored upon. We saw what Philadelphia did, but the thing is, you know, Washington's offense, you know, not a great offense overall.
They've had trouble moving the ball this year.
They have had trouble moving the ball. And then Tony Scheffler, number six, the Denver tight end. I'd maybe flip-flop those guys. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying, I mean, I think the Denver offense is going to have another big week, no question about it. As far as defenses, the Titans, number one, and we were saying earlier.
It's my defense.
That's your defense, you know. Good for you. That's a defense that you can always feel comfortable going against. And if they're your defense, a 99-yard interception return last week for Cortland Finnegan.
Huge. Three interceptions altogether last week.
Yeah. Finnegan, I think, is leading the league in interceptions so far. But they get sacks. They get it all.
Seven so far through three games this year.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And in perspective, I think the Patriots total have two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And 11 sacks, so they're averaging just under four a game there.
Exactly. The Eagles defense, which has been doing all right, except for when they play Dallas, at Chicago, so they should do all right. Steelers against Baltimore, Bills against St. Louis, no question about that one. And the Chargers against Oakland, that's another top defense to start. Quarterbacks, I didn't mean to pass over quarterbacks, but we were talking about running backs at first. Romo against Washington, McNabb against Chicago, Cutler against Kansas City, Breeze against San Fran, Phillip Rivers against Oakland. Hey, you know, there's a reason why Peyton Manning isn't up there, Peyton Manning on a bye, much like the Patriots. And we were talking earlier about the bye weeks, Detroit, Indianapolis, Miami, Giants, Seattle, and the New England Patriots. Let's get to another email here that we have coming into web radio at patriots.com from Igor in Serbia. They do have fantasy football in Serbia. I'm happy to know.
Incredible.
Hey, guys, love the show. I'm 2-1 in my league. Not bad. I started better than I expected, but now I have roster problems. Don't we all? It's bye weeks. 6 out of 32 teams aren't playing, about a fifth of the league. Yeah. I have some great players who are all becoming underperformers, beginning with Romo, who I have as a QB. Can you please help me pick 2 wide receivers and running backs to start from the list below, as well as a tight end and a defense? He says, I have some great players who are all becoming underperformers, beginning with Romo.
I don't understand that.
I'm not sure about that. I think you could be, if you have Tony Romo as your quarterback, you're fine. Anyways, let's get to his questions. 2 wide receivers he can take out of the following 5. Braylon Edwards, we're high on. Lee Evans, we're high on this week. Eddie Royal, I'm kind of high on him as well. Dwayne Bowe and DeSean Jackson. Well, let's just start from the bottom up. Knock off DeSean Jackson. Not a bad player, but against Chicago and with the guys you have, and knock off Dwayne Bowe. I like Dwayne Bowe, Kansas City. Who's throwing him the ball this week? It's Damon Heward. You've got to pick your 2 out of the 3. Braylon Edwards, Lee Evans, Eddie Royal.
I don't think you're going to go wrong with any of those
guys. No. If push comes to shove, I'd go Edwards and Evans just because they're a little more established than Eddie Royal.
But you like you were saying, they're playing Kansas City this week. Any of those receivers, maybe even all those receivers can have breakout games this week.
You can't go wrong. I mean, I guess of those 3, I'd say Lee Evans is the closest to a lock against St. Louis. And Evans, Evans has had some pretty good games and has, a good – I don't know. That's a tough one.
Between it's a good
Edwards,
position to be in, though.
Absolutely. I mean. Between Edwards, Evans, and Royal, I mean, if I had to make a decision right now, I'd be going Edwards and Evans. It sounds like, Dan, you might swap in Royal there, but not bad.
You might go Evans and Royal.
Igor, you're pretty deep there, wide receiver, and you can certainly. I'm not sure with the bye weeks. None of those guys have a bye week this week, but I hope you don't catch some trouble at some point where 2 or 3 of those guys have a bye week at the same time. We'll have to wait and see on that for you. As far as running back, here is 4. Not as great a situation by any means as he has a wide receiver. Now we see where the balance is on his team. Lendale White and Chris Johnson, the 2 Tennessee running backs. Who are both going? Obviously, both going against the same team, Minnesota.
Right.
D'Angelo Williams against Atlanta and Ray Rice against Pittsburgh. I'd say for sure Ray Rice. You can't count on. I happen to like the guy, but he really, as far as the number of touches guys are getting, he is number 3 on that team right now. Baltimore, McGahee and McClain.
He's not 1 and 2. A starting fantasy football running back.
No, he's a guy. He's a guy worth if you have a roster spot and you're not desperate for guys at other position. Other positions, he's not a bad guy to hang on to because I think with McGahee being an injury-prone guy and LaRon McClain just sort of came out of nowhere, you never know there. I think Ray Rice is a guy I'd hang on to. Lendale White, Chris Johnson, boy, oh boy. Neither one is a great matchup going up against Minnesota. Lendale White scored, I think, was it 2 touchdowns last week? I believe Chris Johnson has had a couple of games. D'Angelo Williams, sharing carries with Jonathan Stewart. That is a tough one. If I had to make a decision, I'd probably go D'Angelo Williams, and then I'd go with whoever you feel safest with between White and Johnson.
The Titans guys, yeah. No, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and which one would I feel safe with right now? Based on a little bit of momentum from last week, it would be Lendale White, who scored a couple of touchdowns. Chris Johnson's not bad as well. And real quick, his tight ends, Vernon Davis for San Francisco against New Orleans, Dante Rosario for Carolina against Atlanta, and Vasante Shenko against Tennessee, Vasante Shenko of the Minnesota Vikings. You got to go with Vernon Davis, I think, there. They're going up against New Orleans, and we saw what offenses can do against them. And he's probably just the most talented of the 3.
Yeah, well, definitely not Shanko because we were just talking about how well the Tennessee Titans defense has been playing this season.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Stay away from that one.
Exactly. His defenses, he's got 5 of them. Now, I'm not sure what kind of leagues they run in Serbia, Dan, but I don't know about too many leagues here who have 5 defenses. Maybe he owns 1 or 2 and then he threw in a few that he could pick up on the waiver wire. I don't mean to pick on you, Igor, but that's pretty good luxury. Dallas against Washington, New Orleans against San Fran, Cincinnati against Cleveland, Cleveland against Cincinnati, Houston against Jacksonville. Forget the Cincinnati-Cleveland matchup. Don't touch those teams. Houston against Jacksonville, I don't like that at all. New Orleans against San Fran, I don't really like that much too much either. I don't think New Orleans defense does much. By default, I guess it's Dallas against Washington. The Dallas defense, they're okay. You're not going to be completely screwed up there, but they're middle of the pack. But unfortunately, you've got some pretty lousy defenses there. I'd probably say go Dallas.
Yeah, I would. I would say New Orleans at first, but JT O'Sullivan's been putting up some big numbers this season. So
yeah.
you don't know what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, JT O'Sullivan, who we'll see up close and personal next Sunday when the Patriots resume action, and definitely an intriguing situation going on there. You got a lot of bye week guys, Dan?
Just Matt Cassel.
Yep.
And two Miami guys, Teddy Ginn, Ronnie Brown.
And Ronnie Brown, yeah. I'm dealing with a few issues. Joseph Addai is my big issue there. And then I've got I got Seattle's defense, which has been questionable that I've even been starting them, but I think they'll round into shape. They have a bye. And I do have Denver going up against Kansas City. I feel okay about that, but overall, I don't feel too high on
that defense. Is a little suspect.
Yeah, looking pretty suspect. So, anyways, it is the Fantasy Lowdown. What do you say? One more quick email there, Gary?
So how long are we going here?
I got one more quick email here. Let's just give Todd a chance. Didn't mean to leave you out of my initial hellos, G. By the way, you were never too old for fantasy football. I once looked at it as just for geeks, like Parenti, by the way. What's his deal? Is he trying to be like the banished, not to be named former employee? I would not have to get into that. Anyways, B-Lo, the two Ds that I have, Titans and Ravens, do not have the same bye. As a matter of fact, the Ravens already had their bye in week two because of Hurricane Ike. Great point, Todd. And on to his final question here. Pick three. Todd, didn't you say you had your last question? That's okay. I did tell him he can jump in with one more. Pick three wide receivers out of these four. Greg Jennings, obvious start. Lee Evans, Chad Johnson, Vincent Jackson. Those are four pretty good guys. Greg Jennings, I'd start. Lee Evans, I'd start. Chad Johnson, I've said I like Cincinnati, but I like Vincent Jackson, too, for San Diego against Oakland. That's a tough one. I'd probably go Jennings, Evans, and Vincent Jackson.
Sounds good to me, B-Lo.
Sounds good to you, Dan. Okay, that is the Fantasy Lowdown for another Thursday. Web radio at Patriots.com. Like I said earlier, you can email us at any point during the week between Gary, Dan, and myself. We'll collect those emails. We'll have them all set for you the next time we jump on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your emails. We'll see you next time on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Two gender.
What?